Good morning, Brad. Good morning. How is everybody doing out there? Let me stop this screen for a minute. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. On this Sunday morning, beautiful Sunday morning, we pray that you guys are doing well. We are very happy to be live on YouTube again. Now that we have this good internet and live on Facebook, we're very excited. I pray that you guys are doing well, and I want to read you a scripture before I get started with worship because Pastor does have a sermon today called Disciple, Servant, or Slave. All right, so here we go. This is Isaiah 43. But now, thus saith the Lord that created you, O Jacob, who's Jacob today? And he that forms you, O Israel, fear not. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called you by name. You are mine. You do realize he's jealous for you, bride. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. You know, Friday I did a Bible study and I told you guys, I said, no matter if you hear God, feel God, can touch God, if you feel like he's a million miles away, don't leave him. Because God, your relationship with God in Christianity is not feelings. You know, it's like a marriage. You know, a marriage is not feelings. A marriage is not any of that. A marriage is a commitment, you know, and that's what it is with the Lord in relationship, whether you feel him or not. When you know someone, when you really know them and you know their character and whatnot, you allow them to go off and be about their business. You know, you don't have to have them all, you know, right up on you all the time. You give them space. So we don't, my encouragement to you guys is, you know, don't rely on your feelings when it comes to God, because this is where the enemy will try to move in and will try to get you to get off kilter, or to even lie to you. And so he says right here, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When you walk through the fire, they shall not be burned. That's pretty cool, huh? Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord your God. Isn't this beautiful? The Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since you was precious in my sight, you have been honorable, and I have loved you. And therefore will I give men for them, people for your life. So fear not. This is the word for us today. Fear not, bride. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring your seed, all of us that's been praying for our kids. He says, I will bring your seed from the east and gather from the west, and I will say to the north, give it up. To the south, keep it not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name. For I have created him for what? My glory. You know, last night I interviewed Mr. Steve Stillwell. He is a retired Navyman. You know, he's a veteran. And when you think about him sharing his story last night, you know, it's all for God's glory. The whole way that God crafted him and designed him and sent him down all these different journeys. And that's all of us. That's why I love to interview the small man, you know, with the way the world. I love interviewing the nobodies that people haven't heard of, you know. Not saying he is. I'm just saying that, you know, when I first started in media, I immediately started trying to interview all the big dogs, you know, because that's how you're supposed to roll, you know, in media. But the Lord rebuked me. And the Lord said, no, you interview who I send you. And from that day, I have always interviewed God's people throughout, you know. And I'm very happy about it. And it really blesses me and it blesses them as well. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started. Let me get my screen up over here. And let's see, let's go over here. I would like to encourage all of you guys, you know, to get familiar with our website. We have a really awesome website now. It's probably, you know, the best that we've ever had, I would say, because I have stayed on top of this from day one. Okay. So it has, and this is like back in November when we swapped over from We Are the Bride Ministries, which is what I started in 2013. And last year, fasting, God changed it. And he changed it to Garden of Eden Ministries, because this is where my life is now. It is here on the farm, Garden of Eden Farm, which God named. So anyway, so check this out and you'll be able to see our news, and we'll post some videos of the farm. And then our sermons, you can see all of our sermons are on there. And then the news, you know, I have our different news listed there. Now, you need to sign up for our newsletter if you guys are not registered with our newsletter, because this is how I will notify you guys. So you can sign up on our newsletter here. And then we also have Patreon, is where if you're a real news lover, that's where we have our new, my main news comes out of Patreon. And that's where I post my thoughts and stuff like that. But this is our website that I post our events. If you're interested in Bible college, we start in the fall in August. And then the blog, just posting our thoughts or events happening in the ministry type of deal. Our sermons, our farm, and whatnot. Okay, so being that Pastor's sermon today is called, let me get it right here. Disciple, servant, or slave. There is a song called No Longer Slaves. Now, I'm going to try to sing it. Let's see if we can do that. Let's pray. Lord, we just worship you this morning. We praise you this morning, Lord. And I pray that you help me, Lord, to give you glory with all that I am with my voice this morning, Lord. We do praise your holy name, Lord, for what you're doing in the earth and what you're doing in our lives, Lord. We are not without hope. We have hope and we have you, Lord, and we are grateful and we are thankful, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Anoint this worship time. Amen. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. Isn't this beautiful? I'm no longer slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again to your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Isn't this beautiful? I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. It just keeps repeating. Isn't that beautiful, though? We are no longer a slave to fear. Amen. Now, the next song we're going to sing is a good old faithful song called Amazing Grace. Now, I have to tell a little story about this one. My mother on her deathbed, we was all around her, the family and everything. She had fell back and got an aneurysm in her brain. And we was with her, you know, the last 4 hours of her life. And we was all talking to her because I've learned after ministering to these elderly people that even if they are in comas, they're still there. You talk to these people just like they're sitting there. Because their body is not able to react, but their mind, they're still listening. Okay. So we was talking to her and everything, and some of them was repenting and telling her how much they love them and how sorry, whatever, you know, getting all that stuff out that you got to get out. But right there at the end, we was singing this song. And this is the song that we was singing when Jesus walked in the room. And I am telling you that the Lord blessed me that day to be able to see Jesus in the spirit walk in the room to get my mother. And I believe he truly honored me with that, because I asked the Lord when I was praying with all these people on their deathbed out here, please, Lord, let me be with my mother when she leaves. Because I saw how, you know, it is out here with people and families. And I wanted to be with her when she crossed over into eternity. Because that's all it is. And God allowed it. So let's sing this song. Here we go. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did the grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares. Can you testify to this, bride? I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home Isn't that beautiful? God is so good. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be. As long as life endures. Did y'all know all these choruses? Yes, when this flesh and heart shall fail, and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace. Never heard of some of these. Here's the last one. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine. Oh, that song is awesome, isn't it, Brad? Hey, one other thing I want to say. Right after we, you know, was singing that Amazing Grace song, and then Jesus walked in, and Jesus took the Lord, and I mean, took my mother and everything. I guess it was about 2 or 3 days later, I received in the mail a beautiful cross that somebody had sent me that said Amazing Grace on it. I was like, God, you let me know that my mother is in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Because the way I feel about it is I'd much rather my parents be home right now than have to live here and see and go through what we're going through. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? I was happy my mother's home with the Lord. Okay, now, this song is called Awesome God. Now, okay, before we sing this one, I've got to tell you that there is sign language that goes along with this song. When I was trying to do the children's ministry, I was teaching the children how to do this song. So I'm going to teach you. You ready? It goes like this. Let me move my microphone a little bit. Okay, it goes like this. Our God is an awesome, you flick your fingers out, is an awesome God. He reigns, you do your fingers like reigns, from heaven above. You kind of cross up like a ladder. Let's see, heaven above with wisdom is your forehead, wisdom. And you slap the back of your hand onto this hand, wisdom. With power, power's out like this. And love is like a cross here. Our God is an awesome God. It's that simple. You ready? So here we go. Can y'all ready to do it? All right, here we go. Okay. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God, do you like that? All right, let's try it again. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. All right, now that you know it, let's try it a little bit faster. All right, here we go. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Did y'all get that? All right. One final song before Pastor comes on is What a Mighty God We Serve. All right, now we can get down on this one. Yes, What a Mighty God We Serve. Do y'all feel it this morning? Where did it go? The lyrics. I need this on lyrics. There we go. Oh, that hymnery. All right, let's see if this one's good. There we go, without all them advertisings. Oh, Lord, here they are over there. What the world? They know people like us are using this. Don't they? All right. What a mighty God we serve. Hezekiah Walker, he is such an awesome, my mama's favorite. He sang my mama's favorite song. What was the name of that song? He did it right there in Atlanta. I forgot the name of it, but it was really awesome. We sang it at her funeral. Okay, so here we go. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven, earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven, earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. He is the King. You know this one? Of kings. He is the Lord of lords. His name is Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Whoa, he is the King. Do y'all know that one, Brad? What a mighty God we serve. Okay, so listen, Pastor has a really good sermon that he wants to preach today. And it's actually called Disciple, Servant, or Slave. So let's all pray right now for Pastor. Lord, we just thank you so much for Pastor bringing us the word this morning. And we thank you, Lord, for blessing him, anointing him, and using him mightily, Lord, for your glory today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right. Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. We sure can. You got the floor, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, today's message, I don't, when June asked me what the name of it was, I don't know, because this is kind of going off of from last week's Easter, our resurrection day. And I was, you know, reading some scriptures, and not just the scriptures, but the context of, you know, verses and, you know, up to that point, you know, the resurrection and all that. And when doing that, I got, I don't know if you want to say sidetracked, but there's a lot of rabbit trails in this, and it took me, which I will explain as I go along here, but anyway, there's some specific words that really stuck out to me when I was reading. And then when I was doing this, then I was also doing my devotional for April 26th, from, you know, sparkling gems from the Greek, and about, you know, the two friends that buried Jesus. Okay, and we'll read that. But there's one word that stuck out at me, and it took me down a long rabbit trail, and that's where we're going today. So anyway, just an idea. And there's a lot of scriptures, and I hope you'll bear with me as I turn back and forth between them. Anyway, thanks everybody once again for being here. Thank you, Mama, for doing those songs. And there's one song, well, there's a song this morning when I was doing this, and when she asked me what the title was again of this message, and I'm sitting here thinking, you know, what's the title, you know, I and as I was pondering the whole message, a song came up in my head, and that song is by Rich Mullins, My Deliverer. And we're not going to sing that song. We can't play that song here, you know, for copyright purposes, I guess. But if you guys would please take note of that song by Rich Mullins, My Deliverer, and read the story behind that song. It is very, not just the song, but originally he did that. He did 10 songs in an abandoned church. I think it was back in 74, 75. And there was 10 songs. And that song was on this. And it was recorded on an old cassette player. It shows you the, you know, the simplicity of that song, and Rich Mullins and everything, the story behind him. And there is a video out about his story. So anyway, that song come up in my mind, and My Deliverer, and it's an awesome song. And he's the one that wrote that song, Awesome God. So just want to make note to that. And then I'm going to read also here in a little bit part of that devotion about the two friends that buried Jesus. And that one specific word that stuck out at me. But before I was doing that, I was in Acts 23. So if you would want to turn to Acts 23. And this is about Paul's testimony to the Sanhedrin, you know, the Jewish council. And they denied the resurrection. But the Pharisees, they believed in it. That's kind of interesting. And so that's where I started with this. You know, I was going with this. And, you know, it reaccounts the series of events after Paul's arrest in Jerusalem. You know, this Roman tribunal, you know, unsure of Paul's crime, you know, they bring him before the Sanhedrin, you know, this Jewish council. In Paul's defense, you know, it sparks a conflict between the Sadducees and the Pharisees. You know, again, because the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection or anything about that, but the Pharisees did. And so this led to the tribunal taking Paul back to his barracks, because they're like, here we got these Pharisees and Sadducees arguing, they don't, you know. And so they just got out of there. And that night the Lord appears to Paul, you know, ensuring him that he will witness to the truth of Christ in Jerusalem, also in Rome, And that's Acts 23, verse 11. And I just want to read that. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." And I'm thinking, wow, you know, that should be our prayer. And so, Father God, right now, we just thank you, Lord, that at, like Paul, you know, the Lord told him, be of good cheer. And Lord, with all the stuff going on and all the turmoil and all the just different things, Lord, help us to be of good cheer, trusting and knowing you, Lord, as our deliverer. And may we have that testimony of you, Lord, and that we will bear witness, you know, of your goodness and your awesomeness, you know, to all that we see, you know, people who are around us, our, especially our family and our friends and our children. And so we just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. But I just want to read, again, I'm going to start in verse 1 on that in chapter 23 of Acts. And Paul earnestly beholding, there's that word, beholding, pay attention, the council said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in a good, all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth." He already didn't like what Paul probably was going to say. Then said Paul unto him, "God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, for sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law?" And they that stood by said, "Revivalest thou God's high priest," you know, insulting him. "You insulting the high priest," you know. God, you know, Paul's high priest was who? It was the Lord Jesus, not these men. Verse 5, then said Paul, "I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people." But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other part Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead. I am called in question." So right there, that's Paul's testimony. He's witnessing. You know, he's a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead. I am called in question. And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. Here there was division, turmoil, chaos. You know, and that's the devil's weapon, to create dissension, to create this division. And we see that today in many aspects. In fact, this is religious, but what about, and I wasn't even thinking, didn't even have this on my notes or anything, but it come to my mind right now. And so I'm just going to say it. What about in the political realm today? And I read something, and I can't remember where it was, and this is years ago, how they created this two-party system, the Democrats and the Republicans, specifically for to create division among the people. And I know I need to go back and try and research that, but according to this thing that I listened to or read years ago, our forefathers said no to it because it would create this division. But how it was created, and there we go. We got this division. Anyway, let's get back. Verse 7, and when he had said, so said, there arose a dissension, a quarrel between the Pharisees and Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. And there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees part arose and strove, saying, we find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. And verse 11, and the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. So that's pretty interesting, you know, when I was reading this, you know, how, you know, Pharisee, just in a quick description, means the separated ones, John 3:1. You know, seeing this escalating conflict and the lack of consensus of the Sadducees and Pharisees, you know, the tribunal takes Paul back to his barracks. They realize, you know, he hasn't got a, you know, they realize he hasn't got a clear understanding of Paul's situation. They didn't really, you know, why are we got him here? Come on. So they were, you know, probably arguing or, you know, in their mind, what's going on here, really? You know, this also, you know, this brings, I guess, how do I want to say that this presence of Christ brings up courage. You know, this verse 11, you know, when the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul. You know, this should bring us courage, you know, in the middle of our trials and our threats or whatever, you know, in the middle of the unknowns that we're going to be going through this, you know, for such a time as this, we should have courage because Christ is with us, you know, and that reminds me, you know, Christ in us, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. You know, in Luke, let's go to Luke 20. Let's see here. This is kind of also, you know, coming off of the Acts, but in Luke 20, it's the question of the resurrection once again. Verse 27 through 38, you know, and when then came to him certain of the Sadducees, which deny that there is a resurrection, and they ask him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if any man's brother die having a wife, and he die without children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Anyway, I'm going to skip past. Anyway, this is more or less the question, that question they're throwing at Jesus, you know. So, and also it's in Matthew 22, verses 23 through 33, and we're not going to turn there for time's sake, but these are other, you know, books in the Bible, scriptures that describe and talk about this, okay? about the question of the resurrection, you know. And it's interesting, you know, what they're trying to do here. You know, they're throwing this trick question at him, you know, at Jesus, you know, and then he answers them. And so you guys can read that for yourself. But let's go back here to Acts 23. Acts 23. And I want to go a little further up there to verse. Let me see here. To verse 12. And this is interesting because, okay, you know, they took him, you know, before the Sadducees and Pharisees and all that. And but here in Acts 23, and after this happens in verse 12 through verse 22, you know, the Jews vow to kill Paul. All right. And so if you would start at verse 12 and you would read that, and it's talking about that, but verse 21 stuck out. I mean, I want to read that. But do not thou yield unto them, for there lie in wait for him of them more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath that they will kill, neither eat nor drink until they have killed him. And now are they ready, looking for a promise from thee. So there, you know, there's more than 40 men which they bound themselves. That means pledge. They pledged to themselves. And that's like an oath that they want to kill Jesus. They're taking this oath to kill Jesus. And I thought, wow, such evil men they are. You know, it's like they're under a curse, is what my Bible says. They pledged, they bound themselves, they took a pledge with an oath, and that oath is puts themselves under a curse. That's it. The little footnote here says. So I thought that was, gives you shivers almost, you know. But I want to go back again. Let's go back to Luke 20, because something stuck out at me that I just want to share. Luke 20. And we read what we were talking about. Let's see here. Was it? Whoops, I'm in John. Sorry. Went too far. But here in Luke 20. And this, you know, when I was reading this and I got on a little rabbit trail here again, and I just want to share this. verse 46 and 47. Okay. And in Luke 20, verses 39 through 47, it's the question of David's son. Okay. You know, verse 41, how say they that Christ is David's son? Well, let's just read this down quickly. Verse 42, and David said, and these are Jesus' words, they're in red, himself saith in the book of Psalms, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool. David therefore called him Lord. How is he then his son? Verse 45. Then in the audience of all the people, he said unto his disciples, Beware of the scribes, which desire to walk in long robes, and love greetings in the markets, and the high seats in the synagogues, and the chief rooms at feast, which devour widows' houses, and for a show make long prayers, the same shall receive greater damnation. Whew. Wow. But I want to go back up to that verse 47. Beware. Is Jesus not warning us of the scribes, which desire to walk in long robes? And I want to stop right there. When it says to walk in long robes. And years ago, when I was studying somewhat about the clothing that, you know, that they wore back in Jesus' time. And Jesus, his clothing wasn't long robes. And I don't have the scripture here. I was going to try and look it up, but I didn't. But remember when Jesus was walking among the people and the lady, that woman reached out and touched the hem of his garment? That hem was, you know, those Hebrews or the disciples, they didn't wear long, like when you see this picture of Jesus and they show him with a long robe, you know, and long hair. No, that's the Catholic. That's the pagan view of Jesus. I'm just putting this out there. That's what I believe. Jesus wore a robe. No, he wore a garment, like a shirt that hung out, and it had tassels. These little round tassels at the bottom of the shirt. That's what this woman reached out for. This long robe flowing. No, that wasn't Jesus' attire. That's what I believe. Because right here, look at Jesus' warning. Beware of the scribes which desire to walk in long robes. Anyway, just a side note to think about. Amen. That's what rabbit trails do. Anyway, so let's turn to John 19. John 19. This takes me to what? This is the burial of Jesus by his two friends. Okay. Verses 38, 39, and 40. But actually, it's 39 to 42. But I want to read these first three verses. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes and 100-pound weight. Wow. That's a lot of aloes and myrrh. That's very expensive. And if you do the research on that and more, you'll see what I mean. But anyway, in this book, Sparkling Gems from the Greek by Rick Renner, And he's got, well, what is it? One, two, three, four, about five pages about these two verses and about this. And I'm not going to read all these pages. But again, when I was reading this, there's a word that stuck out at me. And that word is disciple. You know, and after this, Joseph of Arimathea being a disciple of Jesus. And we're going to get into that a little bit. But I just want to read just the first part of this devotion for you. And when it was time for Jesus' body to be brought down from the cross, Pilate received a surprise visit from a high-ranking member of the Sanhedrin. You know, that's the Jewish council, who was a secret follower of Jesus. His name was Joseph from the city of Arimathea. Thus, we know this man as Joseph of Arimathea. He was accompanied by another high-ranking member of the Sanhedrin, who was also a secret disciple of Jesus. There's that word again. The second man's relationship with Jesus began with a secret visit in the middle of the night, recorded in John 3, verses 1 through 21. That secret admirer was Nicodemus. Let's begin with Joseph Arimathea and see what we know of him. To obtain an accurate picture of this man, we must turn to Mark 15, 42 through 43, which says, "And now when the evening was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day of before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, excuse me, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went to boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus." And I want to stop right there. Which it says, he says here, which also waited for the kingdom of God. Whew. So he's been paying attention to Jesus. He's a disciple of Jesus. This verse tells us that Joseph of Arimathea was an honorable counselor. The Greek word for honorable is, and I don't know if I'm saying this right, enushimon, a compound of words meaning well or good, and meaning form, often referring to an outward appearance. When compounded together, it means a good outward appearance. It refers to people who have a good reputation, who have a good standing in society, or who are prominent, influential, and wealthy. See, that's Joseph. This is the same word used to describe Roman senators. By using this word, Mark tells us that Joseph had a high position in the land of Israel, was one of great honor and respect. The above verse also tells us that he waited for the kingdom of God. The Greek word for waited is prodishimon. Other examples of this word are found in Acts 24:15, where it describes a hope of expectation. In Romans 16:2, Paul uses the word to tell the Roman church to receive Philippia, suggesting that they fully receive and embrace her. In Hebrews 10:34, it is translated to take, and it means to fully and completely take something without reservation or hesitation. So when Mark 15:43 tells us Joseph of Arimathea waited for the kingdom of God, this doesn't refer to do nothing, hang around, see what happens, kind of waiting. No, Joseph was earnestly looking for the and anticipating the kingdom. He was inwardly ready to take it, to fully receive it, to embrace it without any reservation or hesitation. You know, when I was reading this devotion, it's like, wow. How many of us out here are like Joseph? How many of us are earnestly looking for and anticipating the kingdom of God? It's really just, you know, I had to stop and really ponder this. You know, think about it. To have that earnest hope and expectation of the kingdom of God. You know, you can turn to Luke 23:51 and it talks about it also. You know, this explains why Joseph was attracted to the ministry of Jesus. Even being, you know, a Pharisee, because of his deep hunger and longing to see the kingdom of God, he ventured out to see this Jesus of Nazareth. This spiritual hunger is always a prerequisite to receiving the kingdom of God. Wow. You know, Mark tells us that Joseph of Arimathea went boldly to Pilate. You know, although he was undoubtedly known for his spiritual hunger, John 19:38 informs us that this Joseph had never publicly announced that he was a follower of Jesus for fear of the Jews. And I just thought that was all kind of interesting. This Joseph, and not only Joseph, but also you know, Nicodemus, because he was on the high council too. You know, he come at night. But they were so devoted to Jesus. I mean, look, you know, that, you know, Nicodemus bought all this mixture of myrrh and aloes of 100-pound weight. That's a lot. They use that to embalm Jesus with. But anyway, I'm going to stop there on that devotion. I just thought that was so interesting that it said that he was being a disciple of Jesus. And there's that word disciple. And we're going to talk about that word. In the Old Testament, the word is I mewed, one instructed. Okay. Isaiah 8:16. That's the reference. Then also that word disciple in the Old Testament, it's of the learned. Isaiah 50:4. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. And also it means be taught. Isaiah 54:13. So a disciple is one instructed of the learned and to be taught. We're going to talk about this and we're going to go into all three of them scriptures and we're going to read more of the context of where it was. Now, in my Bible dictionary, I looked that word up, disciple. In the New Testament is referring of the Greek mathesius, learner, and occurs frequently, meaning is one who professes to have learned certain principles from another and maintains them on the other's authority. It is applied principally to the followers of Jesus. Matthew 5:1. Matthew 8:21, and there's other scriptures in Matthew. Sometimes to those of John the Baptist, Matthew 9:14. and of the Pharisees, Matthew 22, 16. And I'm not going to go to those scriptures, but you can take note of them. It is used in a special manner to indicate the 12. Matthew 10, 1, Matthew 20, 17. Anyway, it's interesting. It's used in special to indicate the 12. They were the disciples. And they were what? Instructed by who? The Lord Jesus. And of the learned, Isaiah 54, and were taught, Isaiah 54, 13. And it's interesting, those are all Old Testament scriptures in Isaiah. And there's nothing like the book of Isaiah. You know, that's just like a foreshadowing of today. And we're going to talk about those. So let's turn to Isaiah 8. Isaiah 8. And in Isaiah 8, you know, this is, Isaiah 8 is kind of a foreshadowing. It's a deliverance foreshadowed, you might say. Okay. And we're not going to read it all, but when I was reading it, and let's just start. Let me think here. Verse 10. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. For the Lord spoke this to me with a strong hand and instructed me. There's that instruction from who? From the Lord. And that's all capital L-O-R-D. That I should not walk in the way of this people. Saying, say ye not a confederacy or conspiracy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Ooh. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. Amen, huh? And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Whoa. How many people today are being snared and taken away by a stumbling stone? Or I shouldn't say that, but by the ways of the world, let's say. But here, verse 16, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, there's that word, behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts that dwelleth in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have a familiar spirit, and unto wizards that peep and mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And I'm just going to stop there. You know, this is, once again, deliverance foreshadowed. Our deliverer is the Lord. Amen. You know, Emmanuel, our Redeemer. But it's interesting that it says, bind up the testimony. Seal, this verse 16, seal the law among the disciples here. In, you know, so they're instructed once again. And if you, let me see here, where is it? In Daniel 12, verse 1, and this is prophecy, the time of the end, and verse 1, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Wow. Verse 2, and many of them shall sleep in the dust of the earth, shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Verse 3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And here's verse 4 is what I wanted to get to. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Pretty interesting, huh? Here, too, it's saying, you know, shut up the words, seal the book. This is prophecy. He's saying, okay, don't you guys worry about this, but this is what's coming. It's upon us, my friends. You know. So, again, this is Old Testament. It's warnings. Take heed. Behold. Right? Well, let's turn us way back there to the book of Revelation. In fact, Revelation 22. I'll give you a minute to get there while I take a sip of my tea. Revelation 22, and we're going to go down to verse 6. Verse 6 to verse 16. You know, we're right at the end of the Bible here now. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. You know, he's not showing him. I mean, I'm reading this. He's not showing them to just everybody. He says here, shown unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold. Oh, wow. Behold. Pay attention. I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Wow. He heard and he seen. That's part of beholding. Pay attention. Look, see what's going on. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of the brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of this prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. So, in the Old Testament, he was telling the same message, you might say, but he was telling us to what? Seal the law among the disciples. You know, they were instructed to seal it, to shut up the words. But here in Revelation, this is where we're at. Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. In verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates of the city. Would have stopped there, but there's only a few scriptures left, but read that today. You know, Christ is to come quickly. He's our deliverer. And that's that song by Rich Mullen, My Deliverer. I hope everybody will look that song up by him. I think I posted it in band. And read the little story behind that. It's pretty cool. So let's turn to Isaiah 50. Isaiah 50. Nothing like the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 50. And Isaiah 50 is about the suffering of the Lord's servant. Okay. And we've been, seems like the past couple of 2-3 weeks, for some reason, when I'm looking up scriptures, I always get going back to Isaiah. I'm always going back to Isaiah. I wonder why. Because Isaiah's got something to say for us today. Amen. Isaiah chapter 50, once again, the suffering of the Lord's servant. In the main verse that I had written here is verse 4, so we're going to read down to verse 4, but verse 1, thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom have put away, or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities ye have sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that I cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water. and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their coverings. Verse 4, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season. To him that is weary, he waketh morning by morning. He awaketh my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I have gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. And we did a message on that a while back. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. I'm going to stop there, because this Isaiah chapter 50, I read, we were there, I think, a week or so ago, and we talked about this. 1, 2, 3 times in this short chapter. Behold, behold. Pay attention. But again, here, I want to go back to that verse 4. Because this is about the Lord's suffering servant. You know, the Lord God. I mean, this, you're talking about Jesus. But I believe we're to be like him, not. We're called to imitate Jesus. So, you know, let's just put our name in here. For the Lord hath given me, Dennis Weir, the tongue of the learned. And when I was looking at this and studying this and pondering it, this is our prayer. So I hope everybody will just put their name in here and date it today. So, Father God, right now, we just thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that you give us the tongue of the learned, that we should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. For we know there's so many weary people out there, Lord. Weary, cast down, mocked, just like you, Lord Jesus. So we just thank you, Father, for strength to overcome the world, to overcome the things of this world. And we thank you, Lord, that you will give us the tongue of the learned, that we should know how to speak in season to those weary people, and that we have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying for such a time as this, Lord. We just thank you and we praise you, Lord. We thank you for your word today, Lord, that it would penetrate deep in our soul, in our hearts, Lord. And we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So, once again, a tongue of the learned. And that takes me back to the Old Testament, Exodus. Let's go to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. And this is about the rod of Moses. And remember Moses, what, you know, he must have, you know, some people say that he had a stuttering, you know, when he talked. And it's interesting, you know, when I was reading Exodus 4 about the rod of Moses, verses 1 through 13, and I guess I'm not going to read all of this for time's sake, but when you guys read this, read through this today, and take note to the times it says believed that. That word believe, or believe not, or will believe. It's interesting. But when we go down here to verse 10, and Moses said unto the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And I thought about this. Is he making up excuses? And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him who thou wilt send. It's interesting, you know, it's because what he's asking for someone to go with him. And if you read on, you know, verses 14 through 17, it's Aaron. Aaron, you know, God lets Aaron go with Moses. But it's interesting, you know, this here, our can'ts. Think about that, our can't. I can't do that. Not me, I can't. You know, these can'ts are as foolish as Moses. God created us, overcame every human weakness. Moses had God's promises, you know, verses 11 and 12. I will be with thy mouth and teach thee whatever, you know, God asked us to do. You know, whatever God asks us to do, you know, he commits himself to succeed, you know, to help us succeed. You know, verse 13, we can carry humility too far. There's time to set modesty and fears aside and respond to God. Ask for help. And yeah, that's what Moses is doing here. Give me someone to help me. And God did, through his grace. He gave him Aaron. He let Aaron, you know. But, you know, Moses, you know, provoked God. But even in anger, God was gracious. Ain't God's grace awesome? He gave Moses Aaron to serve as a spokesman. How wonderful that God does not strike at us, you know, when we provoke him. But once again, he provides more grace that we might ultimately be obedient, obey. Amen. Then let's turn. Let's go back to Exodus 3, just back a page. Exodus 3, and this is, you know, a call of Moses, you know, the burning bush, okay? But if we go down to starting at verse 9, this is God's commission. You know, God commissions Moses. And this is so cool. I just had to put this in there. And I want to start at verse 9. And therefore, behold, pay attention, the cry of children of Israel is come unto me, and I, this is the Lord, have seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, I will send unto thee Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he said, certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? I want to stop there just for a second. And what does it say at the beginning of this verse? And Moses said unto God, behold. Wow. So Moses is, he's like, Lord, Lord, look. He's the one telling God to pay attention. Look, look, oh, poor me. Is Moses in his little pity party here? What shall I say unto them? The God of your fathers has sent unto me that they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob has sent me unto you This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Wow. So who commissions Moses? The great I am. Woo. Verse 14, Exodus chapter 3. You know, I am who I am, a name of God. Literally, true to the fact, God is who he is. Or should I say, God is he who is. The absolute I am, the self-existent one. You know, God reveals his names to Moses. This revelation signifies that God has always existed. He is not a being who came into being, I guess how I should say that. And he is the source of all things. This concept is further reinforced in Psalm 90, which emphasizes God's timeless existence. Whew. So let's just turn to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. You know, in Psalm 90, it's so awesome. You know, it's right next to Psalm 91, which we really have to pay attention to. But Psalm 90 is, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. You know, and again, for time's sake, I'm not going to read all this, but I want to take note of Psalm 90. Just, you know, when you read it, it's just so awesome. It just emphasizes that God's timeless existence. Okay. It highlights the temporary or short time, you know, of the nature of human life. and God's sovereignty over mortality. It suggests that God is ultimately responsible for the return of humans to dust, signifying death, and implies a divine decree. You know, the verse highlights the brevity of human life and contrasts it with God's eternal existence. And when I was thinking about that, I thought, wow, Genesis 3, verse 19, the latter part of it. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till the Shall I eat bread till in the sweat of thy face? Well, excuse me. In the sweat of thy face, thou shalt eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken. For dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. So maybe return, you children of men, may mean a call to acknowledge and submit to God's will. And where is it? I guess verse 3 is what I wanted to really highlight. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. And that word destruction, let's just put the word dust there. From dust you were, and dust you shall return. You know, destruction or dust. You know, that can also symbolize maybe a return to the state of brokenness and loss, that we start reflecting the consequences of sin and death. You know, the quality of our lives, you know, is so short. You know, our time is so short. Also, Psalm 135, verse 13. Psalm, 135, it's about the greatness of the Lord and the vanity of idols. So read that, and it's like, oh, wow. So let's turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 4. Oh, thought I had it marked. Here we go. Let's see here. Colossians chapter 4. Verse 1. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. We're going to talk about that word, bonds. That I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. And let's jump back to Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long suffering. forbearing one another and forgiving one another in any man, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, ye also, so also ye do. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let your peace, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to that which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the same in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wow. When I was just reading this now, I never missed any of my footnotes, but here I want to go back to verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. We could do a whole message on that alone. If any man have a quarrel, a complaint against any, even as Christ forgave you, you also do. We need to pay attention to that verse because, you know, there's people who have a quarrel with our ministry, may I say, or maybe a part of it or something, you know. We forgive them. We want, you know, I know I don't have the scriptures here in front of me, but, you know, we're to talk these things out, you know, humbly. Work out your differences. Amen. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54. And this is the Lord's everlasting love for Israel. And I just got to say, as today, we are the spiritual Israel, the true church, the children of who? The great I am. Amen. Woo. But in verse 13, and again, this chapter is about the Lord's everlasting love. It's awesome. But verse 13, it says, and all the children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Remember when I give that the meaning of disciple? And it says, taught. You know, the one instructed, one learned, and one be taught. And so here's that scripture, Isaiah 54, verse 13. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Amen. It's interesting. And we're going to read down the rest of this here. Well, let's just do that. In righteousness, verse 14, in righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, there's that word again. I have created the smith that bloweth, the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument of his work for his word. And I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Okay. Wow. Now, when I was reading this and pondering it and thinking about this, something come out at me. And this is verse 17. How much this scripture, you know, in prayer time with people, or people praying over you or you over them, and, you know, whatever, is this scripture, I don't want to say thrown out there, but prayed out there or whatever. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. And usually they leave that last part out. No weapon formed against me will prosper. But there's more to this verse. And we're going to talk about that, because it just hit me pretty hard. It made me really ponder about my own life. And that's what the Word of God is supposed to do. You know? It says, the last part, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. So to have no weapon formed against you, you know, to claim this scripture for yourself, I mean, it's, unless I'm reading this wrong or what, just, it says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. You know, the servants of the Lord. And when I was studying this, and this is going to be a little rabbit trail of this scripture, and I you know, Googled it, and, well, one of the meetings, the first one that popped up is the AI overview of this scripture. Okay, and I thought this was kind of interesting. And so I want to read that. It says, the phrase servants of the Lord refers to those who are faithful to God, particularly the Israelites, in that historical context. Okay, God promised that no weapon formed against them. Then AI says, this term in context of Israel primarily refers to the nation of Israel, who are described as God's chosen people and those who are called to serve him. Interesting, huh? Because let's go back to Isaiah chapter 52. Verse 2, shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. And to me, that's the church. Zion is the church for today. I'm looking at this more spiritually. Not the nation, you know. O Jerusalem, all nations. All to word it, where is it? Let me get this straight. Let's go down to verse 10. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God in the eyes of all nations. Amen. And back to Isaiah 54, verse 3. Let's jump back up here to verse 3. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Well, in my Bible here, the footnote for Gentiles is nations. There with that S, not nation. Follow me? And then let's jump over to chapter 55, Isaiah. Woe, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. This chapter 55, the first part of it here, in fact, the whole chapter, maybe we should read, but we won't. It's about a free offer of mercy to all. Woe, everyone that thirsteth. Father God, I just pray right now that you would give us a thirst. A thirst for your word. A thirst to just want to, you know, dwell on the kingdom of God. Put all the things of this world, put all the burdens and the weariness and all whatever aside. And that we just have a thirst for you, for the kingdom of God. Verse 2, it says here, where do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfied not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness, your soul. Verse 3, incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Woo. Amen. Verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Amen. Wow. So, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Servants. How many of us are servants? How many of us are disciples? Or are we slaves? Just interesting. And let's go. Oh, let me think here. Let's go back to Isaiah 50. Isaiah 50. Maybe I already said that. Isaiah 58 and 9. He is near that justified me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. And again, when I was reading this verse just like a week ago, and I put a note here in my Bible, so I'm going to share this again. It says, "He is near that justified me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together." And that takes me to Psalm 133, the joy of brotherhood. All of us here today, Lord, let us, we just stand together. We stand together on your word. And just, we stand together. It says in Psalm 33, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Amen. I thank you that we can all stand together in unity. "And behold, the Lord God will help me." Dennis Weir. "Behold, the Lord God will help the bride." Lord, I ask that you would help each one of us here today. Amen. Let's go to Isaiah 29. I better keep going here. I don't know how long I've been going. Isaiah 29. And when you read Isaiah 29, this is, and I just want to take note of this. Behold, in Isaiah 29, behold, verse, and this is about Ariel and her enemies, okay? But I want to read verse 36. "Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake and great noise, with storm and tempest and the flame of devouring fire, and a multitude of all nations that fight against Arian, even all that fight against her and her mutation, her military equipment, and that distress her, shall be as a dream of a night vision." And verse 8, "It shall even be as when a hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he awaketh, and his soul is empty, or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he waketh, and behold, he is faint, and his soul hath appetite. So shall the multitude of all nations be that fight against Mount Zion." You know, we're coming to a time now where all nations are coming against the church, the true bride of Christ. Amen. You know, in Isaiah 54, going back to Isaiah 54, you know, notice the words "servants of the Lord." This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. And this words "servants of the Lord," and I went to look that up, but it takes me to service. You know, my Bible dictionary says also see service. And it means the rendering of several Hebrew and Greek words. Hebrew abad, to serve, work. Sereth, to attend. Greek, attendance. Public function as a priest, as of a priest. To be a slave. To minister. You know, and there's more information in my Bible dictionary about that, but that's what servant means. You know, or to have service, you know, under the Lord. And I was going to read that, but again, for time, I think I'm going over here. I want to read next. And when I did a Google search on that, here's what Google says. And I thought, that's pretty good. In general religious context, servants of the Lord, you know, and that's, you know, we're all called to be servants of the Lord, signifies complete devotion and service to God, involving obedience, humility, and a commitment to His will. It's a state of willingly submission and dedication to serving God's purpose and glorifying Him. This context, excuse me, this concept is really rooted in biblical teachings, where individuals who are chosen and empowered by God to carry out His work are described as His servants. A true servant of the Lord is wholly devoted to God, putting His will and glory above all else. Serving God requires humility, recognizing His authority, and submitting to His commands. A servant's actions are often directed towards serving and benefiting others, reflecting God's love and compassion. Servants of the Lord strive to understand and fulfill God's specific purpose for their lives. Their lives are characterized by righteousness, purity, and a commitment to living according to God's principles. Amen. You know, Isaiah 42. And Isaiah 42 is about the Lord's servant. It has the servant songs. These passages in Isaiah 42, especially verses 1 down to 9, 10, I'm just looking here. I mean, the whole first part of it, you know, describe an ideal figure of a servant of the Lord, who is chosen, anointed, and empowered by God to bring light and salvation to the nations. Amen. So, if you want to know what a servant, I mean, this is just so good. You know, the servant comes to glorify the Lord. You know, to give God all the glory. Verse 10, sing unto the Lord a new song and His praise from the end of the earth. Ye shall go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. You know, it's an awesome chapter. But, and it's interesting. You know, the apostle, you know, when I was looking up stuff and it said there was one of the commentaries, it says the apostle Paul refers to him as a bond servant of Christ, emphasizing his complete submission and commitment to serving God's will. And I thought, wow, when I read that, but they didn't give no scripture references. And I thought, huh, that's interesting. So, you know, I went, got my concordance out, and I'm looking up bondservant. And there was nothing, that word was not used. It's only used once in the Bible. And it's in Leviticus chapter 25. And it's about, it's in Leviticus, actually it's Leviticus chapter 25, verse 39. That's the only time bond servant is used. And it's interesting because in Leviticus chapter 25, verses 8 through 34 is about the year of the Jubilee. And verses 35 to 46 is about redeeming the poor. There we go, redeeming. And verses 47 to 55 is about servants redeemed. Whew. I thought that was pretty interesting. I'm just going to turn there quick. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 39. And again, this part of is about redeeming the poor. And it says in verse 39, "And if thy brother that dwelleth by thee be waxen poor, and be sold unto thee, thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bond servant." It's just that, I mean, that's the only time bond servant is used in the Bible. But it's about redeeming. It's about the servants being redeemed. Remember that song? I wish we could sing it. "My Redeemer Lives." I always loved that song. You know, Jesus embodied the idea of servanthood, demonstrating humility, love, and self-sacrifice in his ministry and teaching. Now I'm going to end here, but in essence, being a servant of the Lord is a way of life. It's characterized by unwavering faith, obedience, humility, and a commitment to serving God and others, ultimately seeking to bring glory to his name. Amen. You know, and that just, you know, is so awesome. It just, that's why Jesus in Matthew 6, you know, when the disciples ask him, how do we pray? "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." To bring glory and honor and praise to our Heavenly Father for all that he's done, for sending his son Jesus down here. Amen. That what? His kingdom come and his will be done in earth as is in heaven. So Father, I just thank you that your will be done in each one of us, in our lives, in our ministries, that the will of the Lord will be done. Amen. And I guess that's the end of my message today. Thank everybody for being here. I didn't know from the start of this, it was going to take me to where it did. And those first scriptures, we could go a lot further on those, and maybe I will in the next message or something. But Isaiah, he's always, I don't know why, but I'm always, the last few weeks, always going back to Isaiah. So thank you, everybody, for being here. And I hope everybody will be blessed this day.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Pastor. You know, since you brought that up, sir, I'm going to have to sing it. Here it goes. "I know he rescued my soul. His blood has covered my sin. I believe.
I don't know where June went.
I believe.
There she is.
My shame he's taken away. My pain is healed in his name. I believe. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. He rescued my soul." I had to sing that, Pastor, now when you brought that up, sir.
Amen. Thanks for singing that.
Yes, you're right, because it is true, man. Our Redeemer lives. Amen.
Yep.
All right, now, Bride, I do want to encourage you guys to tithe today. Tithing is a biblical principle, and I want to read you a scripture about it. Hold on just a moment. Thank you to our sister, Miss Carla, who reminds me every week about giving. I keep forgetting every week, but she's helping me to remember. Okay, the concept of tithing is giving a portion of your possessions, 10%, to a religious or charitable cause. It is mentioned in many scriptures, but especially Leviticus 27:30-33. It talks about how they gave their produce and their livestock for the Lord. And Malachi 3:10 encourages bringing the full tithe into the storehouse and promising blessings in return. So we encourage you guys to go to our website at GOEM, which is Garden of Eden Ministries, .us, and there is a giving link on there. And I do want to tell you guys as well that tomorrow I am interviewing that gentleman again that I interviewed yesterday. So we will have another interview. We will continue this on. Tomorrow he's going to talk about America being the Great Babylon, because he actually wrote a book about it. So he's going to get into more detail, and I'm excited to learn more from him, Mr. Steve Stillwell. Okay, well, you guys have a good day. God bless you. Let me pray for you. Let's don't leave without me praying. All right, Lord, we just thank you so much, Lord, for your church out here. And I saw in the chat where one lady asked for prayer about her. Let me go back and look. Let me get my glasses on. But Lord, I just lift up the church to you today, Lord, and I pray that you help them with all of their needs, Lord, whatever it is that they're going through, God. I thank you that you're always with us, that we're not alone. And I thank you that you do care about every one of our needs, Lord. All of the little things that we think are not important is important to you. We thank you, Lord, that you lead us and guide us, Lord, into all the truth. And that you help us, Lord, to overcome in this hour, because we know, God, that we cannot do this without you. We need you, Lord. And so, Lord, whatever this sister's need was, I pray that you help her, Lord, through this tumultuous time, and that you would be with her leader and guide her in her decisions as well, Lord. And I just thank you and give you praise, God, that you are with us, and that you're guiding our footsteps, and that you are our candle that guides the way, God. I thank you, Lord, that we can make it in this hour, Lord, with your help, with your grace, because you are worthy to be praised, Lord, in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if any of you guys are going through confusion in your mind, you know, I pray peace in your mind, settling in your spirit, settling. Some of you, I feel like you're just so anxious, and I pray that God would help you to calm that anxiousness, because we know, Bride, we cannot do this out here. This is this thing that's happening in this end time scenario. It's so much bigger than we are. It really is. But through God's grace is the only way we can overcome. We cannot do any of this on our own. But the Lord's grace, that's what grace is. It helps us to overcome and helps us to walk out this path and to finish our destiny. Because it will not be long, Bride, and we will be over there. We're going to be crossing right on over. It's going to be that quick. So we just have to rest right now. Our spirits just rest and trust in the Lord that he's going to carry us through. That he said in his word that he would never leave you or forsake you. So he's going to be with you. We just have to trust in him. And that we examine ourselves, not saying we're without accountability. We are. We examine ourselves before the throne. And we ask him, Lord, help me to see any way that I have offended you. And help him to, you know, show you how to be better. But just trust that he's with you always. Amen. You don't have to go through the rest of this by yourself. So don't be anxious about it. All right. So y'all have a good day. And we really love you guys. I would like some feedback from you guys about how all of you that's in the chat. Let me do a quick little survey. Do you like doing it here on YouTube better than our conference call line? Or would you rather go back to the conference call line? See, we was doing this only on the conference call line on Sunday mornings, but we've done this a couple of Sundays, so I'm wanting to ask what people think about it. Do y'all enjoy being back on YouTube? Now, I know that you're not able to see Pastor, but it's because of how we're having to be arranged. He is behind his desk. He has all his piles of books, you know, because he is a word man. He has many different sources that he gleans off of, and they're all before him in his desk. So we have him through audio only. So Carla, do you like this? Are you okay with it being on YouTube? Yes, y'all give us some feedback. We're definitely wanting feedback. I know. Da, 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 da. I believe. YouTube is easier to share with others. Now that is true. I do see that, yes. Okay. Well, the thing about YouTube, see, we couldn't do it before because we did not have the internet capabilities, but now we do, and this makes it a lot better. Another thing about YouTube that is so awesome is people are able to watch it on their big screen and on their phone or anywhere they want to watch it, you know, so it's easier to handle type of deal. You like it here, Darcy? Okay. Tabitha says YouTube. Okay. Heidi, you like it there too? Well, the prayer call was a little more intimate. That's one thing about it. YouTube's easier on me, but my problem is getting up early enough to join. Oh, Carla, yeah, I know you do, Carla. Carla likes the chat. That's what it is. Seeing other people's comments. True, true. I hear you. Yeah. Now, let me just address Jesus Is. Okay, we do it early here on Sunday mornings because it's almost 10 o'clock. Now, usually he went over today, but usually we try to end at 9 to give you guys time to get dressed and, you know, have a local church that you can fellowship with. So we try to end it, you know, definitely by 10, though. So we've got a few minutes. You can be at the 11 o'clock service. But that's how we try to do that. I know you do, Carl. You. I know you like this fellowship. It is nice. That's why I like the YouTube is the way that we all collaborate. Even doing the news, I love it because we're able to collaborate. I love hearing from you guys. I am going to do news today. Now, me and Pastor, we have an appointment today with our animals at, they have an animal clinic at the tractor supply. So we have to be there at 5. So really preferably about 9:45. But so it'll probably be sometime after noon, between noon and 4. I'm going to try to do some news. We're going to look at the Pope and everything. Oh, Pastor, you're okay. He said he's sorry he went on too long. No, we love you giving the word for sure. Jesus is, says it's never too long. We just try to do it within a timely way for you to go to another church, because I know a lot of you are starving for fellowship. The touch of somebody else, the hug of somebody else, we get it. But, you know, even if we get done now, you still have time to go somewhere. So I will be... Oh, your church there has a 6 p.m. service. Oh, okay, gotcha. I gotcha. Okay. So, Pastor, I guess you heard that, how they feel. So, anyway, so I guess I'll see y'all sometime this afternoon. But thank you guys for your love and support, and we love you. Y'all have a good day today. God bless.